Allah grant them higher stages of Jannah.
Ameen.
So then coming back to South Africa, obviously a difficult decision to make now, whether you go into madrasa to start teaching, whether you join your parents in business and so forth. Many ulama had found themselves in a predicament at that time. What did you do when you got back?
Well, that's exactly what happened, is that when you come back, then the salaries at that time were such that a person cannot survive also most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they went into business, and unfortunately, we lost a lot of ulama because of that. The attitude at that time was that now that they have come, as if they don't have wife, they don't have children, they don't have anything to do, they must live a life in a shack or a hut or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and survive on. So therefore, the salaries were very, very small. So most of the people then went away into different fields. But this same Sheikh Fakhruddin Rahmatullah that I'm talking about, when I told him, as well as any nasihat now that I'm going back to South Africa, so he said, Allah Ta'ala ki zaat ko apne saamne rakho aur dunya ko apne piche rakho. Tumhe Allah bhi mil jayega aur dunya tumhare piche piche aayegi. You keep Allah Ta'ala in front of you and keep the dunya and the world and the material things behind you, and you will find that inshallah you will get Allah Ta'ala also in your life, and the world, whatever your risk is, muqaddar, it will follow you. So now that had sunk into my heart and mind, and therefore I decided that whatever happens, I must serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever way possible. So there were lots of hiccups and all that, but it so happened that there was a little town in northern Nepal, and there it was the month of Ramadan, and they didn't have anybody to make taraweeh or to even teach in that maktab there. Person that was teaching there had left suddenly and had gone somewhere, and nobody was really interested in serving in that town because it was extremely cold, and of course, as I said, the salary was about 90 rand at that time, and the living condition was not as one would have liked, and as they were being promised in other towns and other places. Of course, the Transvaal was much more advanced at that time. But then I just went there just to help them and assist them because there was some family member had asked me to come there. Now that ended up, they took a liking to me and they started insisting that I come and teach there. So I looked at the whole area, that right from Pietermaritzburg right up to Newcastle at that time. Believe me, Zahid, that there was nobody, not one alim in that whole area. Mm. Pietermaritzburg, there were two or three.
Gee.
After that, it's Howick, Moy River, Escott, Wienan, Great Town, and Dundee, and all these places. The only alim we had after that was in Newcastle. Molna Qasim Sema was doing studying work. Molna Abdul Razak also was not back as yet in Ladysmith. So I felt this was the area that I should adopt, as we would say. So I went to Moy River, and from there, we even ran like a mobile madrasa. We used to put those, because it's a small town with about 10, 12 children, put them in a kombi and then take them to Nottingham Road, Rosetta, this side, Great Town, here, there, everywhere, wherever Allah Ta'ala took some khidmat, tried to establish some madrasas, tried to do some khidmat of deen. So that is how it was really, really tough. And I just say it just for out of shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and encouragement for others, that we must never lose hope. Now that the Shaykh had said that your dunya will follow, so I was wondering when is the difficult time going to go.
Gee.
Because the salary was very little, and I was being offered whilst I was getting 90 rands in that town, Johannesburg at that time, from Kirk Street and one to other places, 800 rand, somebody was saying 1,000 rand, plus house, plus light, water, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And here was 90 rand, and from there I had to pay 10 rand towards the light and water. Of course, things were cheap at that time. But the fact is that it was Allah Ta'ala reward my wife also. She used to burn the midnight oil, sewing some dresses and doing some garments and trying to just assist and help in the keeping the fire burning. But at that time, when those offers were coming, I just think that now am I going to leave this place and this whole area just so that I may get a little more But what about the neglect that will take place, and what about the need that is of these areas of Islamic education? So I assured those people in that town that you don't have to worry. People can make me any kind of offers. But I'm not going to leave here unless it is for more dini khidmat or for health reason, because it's extremely cold. But then Maulana Ansari from Durban, because we joined the Jamiat at that time, and within the first or second year, they made me the assistant secretary of the Jamiat with Maulana Qasim Sema, then the joint secretary, then after 1 or 2 years, or few years, then of vice president, and then, of course, president. But at that time, being the joint secretary, so Maulana Qasim, Maulana Ansari was a reputable alim, and he insisted, please, how long are you going to remain there? We want to... that we decided on opening an office in Durban, so brought me over, insisted I come to Durban. So I went to Ascot from Moiriver, spent about 1.5 years there, and then from there we came away to Durban. So this, the starting point, I still can't imagine how those days, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, with respect, he made us part of those days, but sometimes we used to go on the national highway, many a times, early part of the morning, because we can't afford any car. For 4.5 years, I couldn't afford a car. So I used to carry my one baby in my hand. The wife carries one. We go on the national highway, Tamil lift to Durban. Then from Durban, we take a taxi and go to Stanger. Like that, we used to carry on. Mm-hmm. But alhamdulillah, we didn't beg of anyone. Didn't stretch our hands. Allah Ta'ala gave respect. And Allah Ta'ala has now provided so much that we can't make enough shukr.
Maulana, do you recall your first Jummah that you performed, and where was it performed?
Yes, that's also very interesting. That the thing is, I don't know, have you got time?
Well, I'm going to take as much time as we got, Maulana. It's fine, you can go on.
All right, okay. What happened is that when I returned from India after about 3 years, now those days was not cell phones and telephone calls and all that you just keep making call every day to your parents and your family members and friends. From India, if a person made 1 or 2 calls in the 2 or 3 years that he was there, then the parents are lucky. Now, in 63, I left, and the first time that I came back was after 4 years, mm-hmm. and that for a short holiday of about 2 months. So imagine for 4 years, the parents haven't seen you, you haven't seen them, the family members, so many have passed away, so many are in the Qabristan, somebody got married, somebody's child is born. So many things happened in that 4 years, and you don't have any kind of communication telephonic. The only thing that we used to do is write a letter. That letter used to take about 21 to 22 days if you catch the ship on time. They had 2 ships going, one Kampala and one Karanja. So if it leaves Bombay, then it takes about 22 days to arrive Durban. That means your letter will take about 30 days to reach your parents, and that is if you got it on time. Mm-hmm. If you miss the ship, that means after 2 months, you will get some letter from your parents or they will get from you. That was the kind of sabr that we had to make. Mm-hmm. But it was something that we became used to after some time. It was almost 4 years after which I came back to South Africa. Now, when I came back at that time, if a person came back from some institution in India, because that's where the learning was, we didn't have any kind of Azad, Volo, Zakaria, Madrasa, or Newcastle, Darul Uloom, or the number of Darul Uloom that we have now, the number of Madaris and Makatib and Masajid. So when somebody came back, now they took it for granted, this person is already a qualified alim. So as soon as he comes, he must read Qur'an, he must give khutbah, he must make namaz, he must give bayan. Everywhere, if anything, they'll tell you, Maulana, some bayan, some this, some that. Mm-hmm. Whereas we just 3 years, we studied there, and not much experience, but any case. So when I landed, I knew that this is what happens when you get to South Africa. So I prepared 3 bayans. Prepared it well, by-hearted it, memorized it, like how we have in the Jalsas, little children by-hearting and memorize it. So I by-hearted 3 or 4 good bayans, mm-hmm. well prepared from the Quran, Hadith, and everything, of about half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, but about 3 or 4 bayans, because I was not much of a speaker. But now, when we came back, so as soon as I came, the imam there at that time, more than a Musa, I think it was, so he requested that I give a bayan for the the first Juma. And Maulana Adam Bayat was there, and the old people said. So I gave the first talk there. Then the following night or two nights later, they said another Bayan. Mm-hmm. And the third night, they said another Bayan. My stock of three was over. So I packed up my bags and I said, I'm going to meet my uncle and visit some family members, and they disappeared from Stanger. Now, when I went there, straight away they said Bayan. So I gave again the first one, the second one, and before the third one finishes, I pack my bag and I go away to another place. Mm-hmm. So I went touring like that, here, there, everywhere. When I came back to Stanger, then I spent a few days there, and it was time to go back to India. So that was the first few Bayans that we gave. But there was no ikhlas in anything. It was nothing but show business, riya. You just want to impress and give some kind of a powerful bayan so that they make wahwa. And before that, we disappear as soon as it finished. That was my starting point.
Maulana, you've become a leading alim in South Africa. You have thousands of people who listen to your nasiha every day. You have hundreds of people who assemble inside the masjid to listen to your bayans and so forth. When you do go in there, there's a sense that there's so many people that you've got to look after, like an extended family. How do you manage this?